Always by my side, the one who reigns for Let's just take a minute this morning to remind ourselves who God is. Let's take our eyes and just on purpose, let's put them on Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, that you are sovereign, that we can just relax this morning and put all our trust in you. Thank you that you bring peace in the middle of every storm.
Is alive. Church, the Bible says, don't fear. Have courage. I read this last night in our prayer group. I think we need a reminder this morning. Don't live in fear. However, we take all precautions that we can. And when we do everything, reminded of that verse, when we do everything, we stand. We stand. We stand firm in who Jesus is. Amen. Friend of mine, a friend of ours, he wrote this on his Facebook page, and it's a prayer, it's a statement that he says every day, and I want to read it over you. And as a church body, as individuals, as children of God, I am a success. I am the head. I am above only. I am blessed. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. I am the healed of the Lord. Sickness, disease, viruses, and infections cannot live in my body. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus flows through every cell, organ, tissue of my body. Amen? Raise your hands and receive this. By His stripes I am healed. I am free from fear and anxiety. I fear not, for God is with me. I do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I do not have a care. I think on the good reports and things worthy of praise. Think on things that are good, lovely, and pure. I believe in Jesus, and I will never be disappointed or put to shame. I let the peace of God rule in my heart, deciding and settling with finality all the questions that arise in my mind. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I let the Word of God dwell in me richly. I am meditating on the Word of God day and night, making my way prosperous and dealing wisely in all the affairs of my life. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to continue on. I am a tither, and the windows of heaven are opening over my life, opening over your life. The windows of heaven, the blessings of the Lord are overtaking me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. Amen. I could continue on, but amen. Jesus, You reign in this place. Just like we sang, freedom reign in this place. Freedom and Your peace that passes all of our understanding, all of our thoughts. Bring peace if we're fearful, Lord. And we cast out all that fear. His love, God's love, casts out all fear. So Jesus, bring Your love right now. Bring Your unconditional, unwavering, reckless love. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We receive that today, Jesus.
For heaven spun creations with pride and adoration, treasures woven by His love. His care. Careful hands they hold us, safe within His until the end, and you are faithful, faithful to the end. You're faithful to the end.
Yes, Jesus, you are. You're faithful. You're good. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Said we're the head, not the tail. Amen. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
I find it so interesting, the last couple of weeks we've done a series at Youth, and basically what it's been on is not changing our standards to what's acceptable in culture today. And I find it so interesting that the standard in culture right now is to be fearful. It is, right? The standard is prepare, protect your own, whatever. But what we've settled on the last couple of weeks is we don't conform our lives and our expectations and who we are to what culture says is acceptable. We conform to what he says. And when the disciples saw a storm and they wanted to be fearful, what did Jesus say? Be still. So here's what I want to do this morning. Lindsay said a word this morning, and it just really resonated with me, and it was unsettled. Even like in Walmart this week, it just felt unsettling, you know? It felt eerie almost, where shelves are empty, and the lines are long, and there's just way too many people in there for a Friday afternoon, you know? Even if we're not necessarily fearful, we can still feel unsettled. It's easy, it's natural for us, where we're getting fed all of this information, these thoughts, and what people are doing, and whatever the situation is. And so, you know, you hear those statements like, we weren't given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. And I know all like the cliche scriptures and things that people are saying and all that stuff, but here's what I feel to do this morning. We're all going to just put our hands on our stomachs, because that's where everything originates a lot of the time, in our spirits and in our soul, and there's just this unsettledness. All of us probably feel it. And I want you to speak to your spirit, and we're going to do it together, and we're just going to say, be still. And then we're going to say, be still to our loved ones and our neighbors and just everything. I'm not much of a guy of like declare over the nations, you know, whatever. I'm not that guy. But I do feel like there's power in just declaring with our voice and speaking out truth and knowing who we are and where we stand and where we're grounded. Not in what culture says is this is what is expected of you right now, but what he says is what you should do. And still, we need wisdom. I understand that. We need that. We're not to be stupid, but we are to be wise and bold and not full of fear. So let's do that together. On three, let's just say, be still. One, two, three. Be still. Be still. Whatever storm, whatever uncertainty, whatever you're feeling, and whatever the feeling is in the grocery store or on the roads or whatever, we will be still, because he's got this. Amen? All right. I'm just going to pray us in, and then we'll go through announcements and just a few more things that I need to say, and we'll get going. All right, let's pray. God, thank you that we know you, that we are grounded, that we know truth and we know life, that this is one of so many things that will happen in years to come that will throw off everything, seemingly. This is just a taste, but we know where our foundation is, where our grounding is, and so we just look to you this morning to quiet our storms, quiet our hearts, quiet our spirits, and that we would know. So God, be with us this morning. Speak to our hearts this morning. We invite you to come and speak to us, and the guys who are sharing this morning, I just pray for boldness over them. I pray that they would encounter your spirit this morning, that you would share from their story, their testimony, their hearts, who they are, what you've written in their lives, to encourage us and speak life into us as a family, as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give our worship team a hand? You all may be seated. So good. So for offering this morning, there's just going to be plates at the back kind of on our way out. So if you want to just drop offering there as well. And I've also been asked to mention, of course, as we don't know what things will look like for the coming weeks or whatever, obviously like half of us are here this morning. So there is giving online. It's done on the new website, Emerge Church. So yeah, please just take advantage of that, and we can keep the lights on. That's awesome. did I hear an amen from Abby? Is that? I'm just kidding. I heard one amen. I just made an assumption. Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. Feel better? Man, it's good. You know, it's an interesting point in life where there's so many new things for me. New, you know, within the past 3 years, new family, new kids, new, you know, position here, and new opportunities to speak and all that kind of stuff. And I've never been in the position of being asked to make like a public statement. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a weird thing that you never think, oh, that's actually something that I'm going to need to do one day. So with that in mind, I've kind of said where my heart is already this morning. But just to be clear, we've removed like hot beverages so that's not something that we're passing around, in just a way of, you know, potentially passing something along. Limiting handshakes, although I feel like I've already hugged like 10 people this morning, so I apologize for that. And of course, if your kids are sick, keep them home. Don't put them in kids' church. I mean, it's just a thing of wisdom. It's the same with the flu. You know, it's just wisdom to take precautions. And of course, as time goes on, as decisions need to be made, we will make decisions as wisdom dictates. Plain and simple. So we'll go from there. And trust God with everything else, because that's all we can do. Amen? All right. So just a few announcements, and we'll get rolling this morning. We just want to mention again, Right Now Media. So if those of you who don't know what that resource is, there it is. Basically, they have a ton of great material for either devotionals or podcasts or just good things to fill your life with. And so we pay for that corporately as a church. And so if you don't have a login for that yet, you don't have the permissions yet, please just see Keelan or Deb and they will get you all that stuff. And so it's free for you, but us as a church pay for it just to give you some material to fill your life with. So if you've been looking for some good material, please make sure that you talk to Keelan or Deb to get that rolling. All right. Just want to make sure we take advantage of that. Next Saturday, we have Doug Phaneuf here for Men's Breakfast, which we're excited about. I assume that it will be happening. If not, we will, you know, inform you as it comes. But as of now, we will have Men's Breakfast next Saturday morning. Join us for that. We're really excited to have him. He's the lead pastor of the Pentecostal Assemblies Church in Airdrie. Amazing man of God. And we're really looking forward to hearing him come and just pour into our lives. So, yeah, join us for that. That's all I have for this morning. We're going to have Pastor Todd come and introduce our guest for this morning.
Man. Are we exchanging microphones? Oh, boy. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning, everyone. So good to have everyone here this morning. We are very excited to have Teen Challenge with us. We try to do it every year. I think we've skipped now and again, but we try to have it every year because you know what? And we said it last night. We declared it last night. We continue to declare it that we destroy the enemy's work by two things, obviously Revelation says, by the finished work, by the blood of the Lamb. That means by the finished work of the cross, that Jesus fixed it. Jesus fixed it. He said, I won. I won. And then the other way that we defeat the enemy is by our testimony, declaring that he won in us. Oh, that was worth a hallelujah right there. Come on. Come on. So, Greg, would you come on up here and you'd take over? And we just give this time to you. You introduce the team. And can we just welcome Team Challenge as they come today? Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, it is great for us to be here this morning. Despite everything that's going on, we're trying to do our best to take precautions. And so, you know, after the service, if you'd like to come and talk to us, we're going to be assembling behind our table, trying to maintain a bit of distance there. And we usually love to shake hands and hug, but we won't be able to do that this morning. But you know, one thing that just gives me a little bit of perspective, and for some reason this came to my mind this morning, I just wanted to check some stats on deaths caused by drug addiction in this country. Did you know that since June of 2016 to the June of 2019, in this country, we have lost 13,900 people due to addiction. That's an epidemic that is one that is gripping this country. And you know, if you were like me, like I was 20 years ago, I said, you know what, a drug addict needs to just smarten up and get a job. And my heart was cold to anyone that suffered by addiction. And it wasn't until the Lord brought to my heart where he said to me, Greg, you love me. You love discipleship. Don't you think people that are caught in addiction just simply need to be discipled and walked alongside of and brought to a different life altogether? And so that's the word from my heart this morning, is that Teen Challenge is a ministry that does that. And we just appreciate the opportunity to share in your church this morning. Addictions aren't something that we usually talk a lot about, and but we're gonna talk a little bit about them. And I say a little bit because that's all it's gonna be. We are mostly wanting to share with you the hope that we have in Christ, the one that can walk beside us and can transform us and help us to focus on what his plan and purposes are for our lives. And so I just wanted to take some time to share that with you and to introduce our team to you this morning. My name is Greg Cornelson. I've been the center director at Teen Challenge. This is my 15th year at that center. And I have with me David. I just want to give everyone a wave there. Yes, yes. And right next to him, we have Brandon. Yeah. And a guy that I must say, I really love this guy's name. It's just absolutely incredible. His name is Greg. So, Greg. Yeah, yeah. And you know, we've been to this church before, and so I just put it out there. How many of you are currently a sponsor of a Teen Challenge student? Look at that. I see that hand. Yeah, I see those hands. Fantastic. Oh, great, great. And how many of you are familiar with the ministry of Teen Challenge? Let's see. You know what? You know what? That's about 40% of you. And so we're obviously in the right place again this morning to be able to just share what's on our hearts and what the ministry of Teen Challenge really stands for and is behind. So way back in 1958, there was this pastor by the name of David Wilkerson who was sitting in his living room reading a Time Life magazine article about some youth that were on trial in New York City. To put it in his words, he said it was as if those pictures raised off the page, you know, those artists' depictions of who's on trial. And the Lord was speaking to him. He didn't know what the Lord was saying, but he heard the Lord saying, it's time for you to do something. So with his wife's permission, climbed into their family car, blindly was driving towards New York City, not really having a clue what he was going to do. All kinds of things happened to him. He was talking to a group of youth. He came around the corner and saw that his car was all stripped for parts and was standing up there on some blocks of wood. And he was threatened to within inches of his life by a guy by the name of Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz said to him, I'm going to cut you into 10,000 pieces. You know what Wilkerson's response to him was? Every one of those 10,000, you can go ahead and do that. Every one of those 10,000 pieces is going to say, I love you. That took a courage and a strength that could only come from our Savior. And one of the core values, we have a few core values, but one of the main core values is that Teen Challenge is a Christian program. We believe that Jesus Christ is the catalyst for change for people with life-controlling drug and alcohol problems. He stood up in the face of David Wilkerson, many other situations. Within 2 years of that first trip to New York City, actually opened the very first Teen Challenge on Clifton Avenue. I find that so remarkable because, you know, I've been with Teen Challenge for 15 years. The very first day I showed up to work there, I was told that we want to expand our center at Teen Challenge. Alberta has the second highest per capita addiction rate in the country, and we have the smallest center in our province, and it's a 12-bed center. And so we've been talking about expansion. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later towards the end, but we're doubling our capacity. We're building a new building. We're getting very excited about that. It's been 15 years at the same location, you know. Wilkerson opened the first center within a couple of years. So I just find that really, really remarkable. Did you know that there are currently over 1,400 teen challenges operating in, I just changed these statistics, so I have to look, operating in over 125 countries around the world today. That's out of the obedience of one man that started to drive towards New York that really didn't have a clue what God was going to do. And so we just get really thrilled about that, that we are kind of part of that that heritage at Teen Challenge. We've got locations all across the country serving both men and women. What I wanted to say is that although Teen Challenge serves adult men and women 18 years old and up, we still maintain the name Teen Challenge, just so that people still associate us with the story of David Wilkerson, the famous book that came out in the 70s called The Cross and the Switchblade. Some of you may have read that. If you haven't ever read that book, we actually have several copies back at our table we'd like to just give you. We'd like you to read that story. It is riveting. It is one of those books that you really can't stop reading. You got to just keep on reading it until you're done. So make sure you have yourself a cup of coffee and you're squared away, because you won't be able to go anywhere. And so that's the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and you can have that for free. You just got to come by our table and ask for one, and we'd be happy to give that to you. Well, you know, let's see. We're here in this capacity for a few reasons this morning. First of all, to create awareness that Satan can't stand the work we do. Do you know that he loves to cause misery, pain, and hardship, temptation, all those things that get us off the track of what God has planned and purposed for us in his life? We want you to know that we require your prayer support. We are standing in the gap every day. Our students, our volunteers, our staff members are being thrown curveballs day and night. And so if you are a prayer warrior, we ask that on behalf of the ministry and what takes place at our center, that you lift us up in prayer. The second reason that we're here this morning is to let you know that Teen Challenge is alive and well, and it is a program that is specifically for men. At least our center in Alberta is a men's center for guys that are struggling with alcohol or drug addiction. It costs $100 to apply to the program. On the day you show up to our center, we ask for $1,000. That is the only financial obligation that there is for the entire year that the program goes on for. And as a matter of fact, we won't refuse entrance to somebody based on their ability to pay those intake fees, okay? So just so that you know that. We did a survey a few years back, and we found out that 85% of the people weren't able to pay that $1,000. It was paid by a church or a friend or a family member. And so we understand that bridges have been burnt, that we as a community of Christ need to gather around and follow and uplift and uphold guys as they work their way through the program. It's a one-year program that's based on several core components, the number one being biblical instruction, a couple of more things, addiction counseling, student life, community involvement, just like we're doing this morning, and something we call work therapy. And so those are sort of the keys that we build the program on. We'd love to talk to you more about that later on, but we must move on here this morning. Let you know that there's also other ways you can help. Some churches like to come by, maybe prepare a meal for our students. It's something that we'll probably just hold off on now for a little bit. But we are sort of under quarantine the whole time, so we are probably the safest in society at this point in time. We don't mix with the outside too terribly much, unless it's on a Sunday morning when we're attending church, and so. So in any case, some churches like to do those things. We have a church in Edmonton that has supplied all the money to refurbish our barn and our shop area. And so there's ways like that you could get involved. One of the best ways to support Teen Challenge is through our sponsorship program. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But right now I'm going to call up the team to do a little presentation for you called Reality Is. So come on up, fellas.
What is reality? Reality is dealing drugs and receiving a criminal charge at 15 years old for drug possession. Reality is overdosing alone in your apartment, afraid your heart will explode if you even move. Reality is waking up in the hospital after losing your job, not even knowing what happened the day before and wanting to commit suicide to escape the shame and guilt. And reality is abusing so many hallucinogens, your vision is affected months after your last use. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being 16 years old, having a full-blown addiction and committing crimes to support it. Reality is losing good friends and breaking family members' hearts because drugs became more important to you. Reality is using so much drugs that your brain seizures out, but you wish it had killed you. Reality is becoming homeless and watching people you know overdose and die from using drugs, and you still can't stop using yourself. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is being 6 years old watching your dad overdose and die. Reality is almost losing your family because of all the lying and shame. Reality is hearing your mother say she may as well have a dead son. And reality is being stuck in a basement using too much coke. How do you know that was reality? Because that was me.
Although we all have different realities, we've been transformed by the same truth. And the truth is being able to have a conversation with my family without being afraid of getting caught using drugs. Truth is growing in Christ, giving me a confidence and hope in my future that it will be successful with him. Truth is having people in my life that genuinely care for me and love me. And truth is, even though my vision plays tricks on me, I can always set my eyes on the one who saved my life. And truth is, Psalm 86 verse 7 says, "When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me."
Truth is, seeing the value of my life through Christ and the brothers around me. Truth is, rebuilding relationships with my family and finding real friends without drugs. Truth is, having a bed with food and water and seeing life without addiction. Truth is, I can stop running from my past now because I'm fighting my battles with God's help now.
Truth is, this is the closest relationship with God I've ever had. The truth is, I have a close and honest relationship with my family again. Truth is, I have a group of brothers at Teen Challenge who are all strong believers in Christ. And truth is, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And this is how we are living in him.
And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Unless you need your paper. Well, folks, the reality is that it takes a sacrifice to provide a program that runs entirely on donations, sacrifice of our staff and our students, our committed volunteers as well. And the truth is, these students, they now have an opportunity to go on and live their lives completely differently. Changed, transformed, dependent on Christ instead of being independent, and so we praise the Lord for that. I'm gonna just give Greg an opportunity to share a few more details of his testimony. So I hope you're blessed and encouraged, and you are filled with hope. Some of you that have family members, or maybe there's someone right here this morning that is dealing with addiction. I'll tell you what, somebody said to me a long time ago, a few years back, does a drug addict or an alcoholic ever change? You know what the answer is? Yes, they sure do. And this is what we are here to fill you with this morning.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm 19 years old, and I've been in Teen Challenge for just about 9 months now. I was born in Calgary, and I grew up in a loving family with firm Christian beliefs. When I was 10 years old, my family moved to Houston, Texas, and I enjoyed it there for the most part. I got involved in a church shortly after moving there, and I never had any struggles with school. In school, I could always get away with putting minimal effort into my classwork, but because of that, that left me with lots of free time. I wanted to make better use of my time, so I started playing football in junior high and high school. I enjoyed playing football, but this is where I first heard about drinking and smoking weed. I was curious about what it felt like to be intoxicated, so when I was 14 years old, I drank liquor from my parents' fridge for the first time. I didn't enjoy it all too much, and I got caught by my parents, so I didn't even consider drinking again for a long time after. When I was 15 years old, I was still curious about drugs, so I tried acid for the first time. I enjoyed acid a lot more than alcohol, and I found myself hooked almost immediately. I started using acid on a much more frequent basis, and I started using way more than I should have. This eventually caught up to me, and because I was dealing drugs at school, I got caught, and since this was in the States, that had legal implications. My parents pulled me out of public school and put me into an online homeschool program, and I wanted to keep myself clean for a while after that. I did succeed in keeping myself clean for a while, and I got a job in fast food. I started getting involved in the church again, and I started reading my Bible more, but there was a growing loneliness that was starting to form inside me because I felt that because I couldn't see my friends at school anymore, that I didn't have anyone who I could relate to. So I started relating to people at work, and these people weren't the best influences on me. About 9 months after I had stopped using, I started using acid again at work, and I started experimenting with other drugs like coke and weed. I started getting myself into a cycle of getting caught by my parents, stop using drugs for a while, turn back to God, and then after I felt that things were going well, I went back to the drugs. This cycle went on until I moved out when I turned 18. When I moved out, I came back to Canada to go to school at SAIT. I did a 3-month inspection course there, and I did really well in terms of my grades. But I started getting into more frequent drug use and partying because I felt that because my parents weren't around, I could get away with whatever I wanted. I finished the program at the top of my class, and I received several awards for my academic achievements. But I failed to address the substance abuse issues that were starting to take control of my life. After my program at SAIT, I moved to Fort McMurray for a job offer I had gotten there. I had a 7-on, 7-off rotation for work, and during my 7 days on, I kept myself busy and didn't really have any free time. But during my 7 days off, I fell into a dark place. I would go on coke binges, I would black out from drinking, and I would take large doses of hallucinogenic drugs. This drug use eventually caught up with me, and I overdosed alone in my apartment on coke in March of 2019. This overdose made me realize that there was an issue there that I wasn't ready to address yet, but I knew that there was a problem. I wanted to try and run away from my problems, so I got a new job, and I started devoting myself to daily Bible reading and prayer. This worked for a while, but I had still not ruled out in my head that I needed to cut out all substances. I was still drinking because I thought that I could be moderate. I was, of course, wrong. I got drunk one night, and I ordered LSD online. 2 weeks later, it came in the mail at the company paid hotel I was in, and I took a huge amount, and I blacked out, and I woke up in the hospital the next day. When I woke up in the hospital the next day, I realized that I had gotten fired from my job because of my actions at the hotel, and I was ashamed of what I had done. I felt that there was no redemption for me, and that there was no turning back from the path that I was on. I was going to commit suicide that day because I felt that there was no hope for me left. I had made so many mistakes already, and I didn't think that there was any chance of getting out of the mess I was in. Thankfully, that's not where my story ends, and God stepped into my life that same day. My day began to change when my boss called me and told me that a coworker would be picking me up from the hotel and taking me to the airport. When the coworker picked me up, he told me that he had an issue with addiction in the past. I had expected him to be mad at me because he had to come pick me up on a Saturday, but instead he opened up to me and showed me the love that I needed in that moment. He told me about his past struggles, and he told me that this wasn't the time to give up, but instead to address the issue and fix my mistakes. He told me that I should go to rehab, and then when I do that, I'd be able to get my job back. This gave me hope, and it gave me something to look forward to, so I decided that day that I wanted to find a rehab program that suited me. I knew that I needed to find a Christian rehab program because I'd seen in my own past that without God I would fail. And I found out about Teen Challenge from my brother's friend, who has a grandfather who volunteers at the Alberta Center. I liked the sound of the Teen Challenge program, but I was hesitant because of the year-long program. I felt that I didn't want to give up a whole year of my life, but when I thought about it a bit more and saw the benefits of it, I realized that I wasn't giving up a year of my life. I was investing a year into God to give myself salvation for my future. So I went for it, and I was in the program less than 2 weeks after I applied. After I came to Teen Challenge, God began working in my life and performing miracles and changes that I never would have expected to happen. My relationship with my family is better than ever. My brother and grandma live in Calgary, and my parents and younger siblings still live in Texas. Even though there's quite a bit of distance between me and my parents, we have a better relationship now than ever before, and there's an openness that never existed until now. I'm so blessed to have the relationship with my family back to the way it should be, because for so long I was hurting them with my actions, but now that I've been able to make reconciliation with them, there's a peace that exists between our family that wasn't there for a long time. I've also had some major changes in my heart and in my desires. I came into the program originally just wanting to get my job back. But as I started going through the program more and giving more and more of my life over to God, I realized that the things that I desired before, like money, success, in financial standards, not necessarily in other ways, but I realized that those weren't as important to me, and I wanted to devote myself to something more. And I decided that I wanted to go to Bible college and possibly pursue a career in ministry. It was a major change in my life, and I would have never expected it. But because I started realizing what it meant to give over my life to God, I realized that I was willing to do that, and it would allow me to use the gifts that God's given me to better his kingdom. And as I progressed in this new path, the doors started opening. I've gotten accepted to Miller College, and I'll be attending there in September. And my dad has told me that he's going to make sure that all the finances work out for me going to school, which takes a huge amount of stress off my back. So I can go forth on this new path and not have anything to worry about except focusing myself on God and learning more about him. I'd just like to leave you with a verse that I found encouraging, and it's Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. This verse means a lot to me, because in the world's eyes I would be seen as a failure. Yet in God's eyes, I'm seen as righteous, and I'm no longer guilty when I live a repented life with Christ at the center. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Greg. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the student sponsorship program that I said I would mention. What we do is each student that comes through the program, we prepare a little card like this. It has a picture of their shiny face on one side and a little bit of their story on the other side. And if you agree to sponsor a student, what we're asking for is a $40 a month commitment for a year. So now, obviously, these three gentlemen I have with me here this morning are getting some are halfway through, some are three quarters of the way through, the program. And so we ask for the 1 year commitment. After they graduate, you'll be invited to their graduation, and then you'll also be given another student to think about and pray for as they work their way through the program. So. So you get a sponsorship card for a little bit more than a dollar a day. And it gives you an opportunity to write letters. If you think about it, if you spend a whole year in a program, that means you're celebrating a Christmas, a birthday. For some men, it's an anniversary, Easter, all those things where you're separate from your families. And so, so it's very encouraging to receive a birthday card in the mail, or just a note talking about maybe your own relationship with the Lord and encouraging him. And so, so we encourage people to get involved this way. It's a spiritual connection. It seems like we as Christ followers, our hearts are often tied to our wallets, and as you give, it's a reminder for you to pray for your student that you have. And so we believe that's one of the reasons for the success of our programs is that people are spiritually minded and praying them all the way through. And so if you think about this, I know I was the last guy to do an outreach here from Teen Challenge, at least I think I was anyways. I told this joke, and so you don't have to laugh if you don't think it's funny, but it's a little bit more than a dollar a day, or in essence, a cup of coffee from Tim Hortons. And I know you have Tim Hortons in this town, and McDonald's. Lest we forget, man, sheesh. And so if you would think of, giving up one coffee a day, you could actually sponsor a student in the program for a whole year. Isn't that cool? I mean, and if you have five cups of coffee a day, you could forego some of those, sponsor some students in the Teen Challenge, give them all up, sponsor five students in the Teen Challenge program. Man, if you have 10 cups of coffee a day, we have a bed for you in the program there. So in any case, I'm just going to call David up to share some of his story too.
All right. Hi, my name is David, as you guys know. I'm 21 years old. I'm from Lethbridge, and I'm in my eighth month right now in Teen Challenge. I was raised in a Christian home. I have one brother, two sisters, and I have two nieces and two nephews, and we have a really close bond. So one of the hardest things for me in my addiction was when I was around them, they could see something was wrong with me, and I could tell it was bothering them. And I don't know. That's just one thing I really struggle with. But anyways, growing up, I had a good life, but my parents had me believe that if I ever missed a church service, I wouldn't go to heaven. So I thought God was to be feared, so I never really cared about religion or church. But a few years after that, my parents broke those chains, so that's pretty cool. I liked elementary school. I did okay. I did get bullied from time to time, so I ended up making trouble in school and always got suspensions. In junior high school, I got drunk twice at school, and the RCMP came and wrote me tickets. The officer was nice. She gave me her number and told me to text her three good deeds I did in 30 days, and I wouldn't have to pay the fine. I did, but I lied about all of them just so I could get away with it. Then in grade 10, I dropped out of school, and at the age of 14, my parents let me buy my first car, and they insured it for me, and I drove back and forth from work without a license. And this is where Satan began to take me down a dark path. One night, I let my friend use my car, and I went with him. He began to do cocaine in front of me, and I was curious to see what it was like. And so I tried it, and not long after that, I was addicted, and I was drinking and doing cocaine at work. Not long after that, I got addicted to crack, and every paycheck was gone before I got the next one. Then at 16, I moved to Vauxhall with my brother, and I lived there for 3 months and partied almost every day. I got into fights, and I started committing crimes to support my habit. I experimented with many other drugs as well, and that's when I got addicted to crystal meth, and I lost my job in Vauxhall. And then I found another one in Lethbridge, so I moved back home. And then not long after that, I got fired again because of my drug use. So I started hanging out with gang members on the streets, and it turned me into a violent person. We would drive around, beat up people that owed them money, and rob other dealers for their money and drugs, just to feed our habits. Then at 17, my parents got a court order to put me in detox. And 2 months after I got out, I fell right back into my addiction. I would be up for days, and I lost a lot of weight. I almost overdosed a few times, and at that time in my life, I was questioning if God really existed. I started dealing meth, and during that time, I was held at knife point a few times, and I was also beat up with a baton, so I started carrying weapons with me for my protection. I was in a dark place full of anger and depression, and I thought there was no way out. I had constant thoughts of suicide. Then in May of 2018, I had a brain seizure from doing an ounce of meth and being really dehydrated. Then my depression got a lot worse. I thought I was going to die, and it put a lot of fear in me. So I knew I needed to change my life, and at that point in my life, I started to believe maybe there was a God, but I didn't follow his word yet. But I decided to clean up my life anyway, but I thought I could do it on my own. So I stopped using all social media, like Facebook, Instagram, and I deleted all my contacts, and I changed my number, so no one from my past knew where I was or how to contact me. After I had been sober for about 2 months, I started to attend church again. Then I attended a men's encounter at a Bible camp, and I had an encounter with God. So I rededicated my life to God, and I felt the high of the Holy Spirit in me. Ever since then, people told me I seemed happier, and this was because I had let my addiction go and let God into my life. And with his help, I got rid of the darkness and got Satan out of my life. Since then, I have been praying every day, read my Bible twice a day, and I couldn't wait to see what God had planned for me in the future. However, I made a big mistake by not talking to anyone about my guilt, shame, and depression. In 2018, I made it from September to December on my own. Then I ended up relapsing for one night. I managed to keep my job and stay clean until the beginning of April, but my anger and depression was building up, and I was afraid to talk about it, and it got the best of me. I ended up relapsing this time, and it got a lot worse. I used to always have a feeling that everything would work out in the end. However, this time it got so dark that I lost that feeling. I took off from home without telling anyone. I had so much guilt and shame built up that when my family tried to contact me, I just ignored them. And I lived on the streets, selling drugs and abusing them. I had given up on life, so it didn't matter to me anymore. However, God had bigger plans for me, because on Easter night, something happened. I won't go into detail, but I ended up at home, and I woke up in my bed. I was in such a dark place from Easter Day until August 12th that I went through a few ounces of meth. And during that time, I came close to a few heart attacks. Many times I would cry out to God asking why things had happened this way for me. I had completely given up on life and had many suicidal thoughts. I was too scared to end my life on the spot, so I figured I'd abuse meth until it did it for me. I felt so lost, and I thought this was the end of my story. However, when I had left the detox center a few years ago, my mom had done some searching and was led to Teen Challenge. She started signing me up for Teen Challenge, but I tried to push off the medical forms as long as possible because I figured even if there was hope and a future out there for me, I wouldn't be able to be happy anyways because of my past. So it took me 3 months to get some done, and when it should have only taken me one. And by then, I was doing a lot worse, and I still planned on backing out when I got my intake date. And when they called with it, I kept doing more drugs until that day came. And when it came, my parents tried to wake me up for hours, but I just kept telling them that I wasn't going. And if I did, I would leave 2 days then. Then my sister called me and told me to at least try it out. And if I wasn't going to do it for myself, to do it for my nieces and nephews so they wouldn't have to grow up knowing that their favorite uncle was an addict and he was letting them down. So I reluctantly came to Teen Challenge with the thought I was going to leave 2 days in. After a week in the program, I started feeling happier. And by the end of my first month, I found hope for my future. And I also learned that I was really wrong, that I wouldn't be able to be happy. And I felt God starting to work through me. And I started taking care of myself again. And ever since then, I've grown stronger in my relationship with God and my family every day since. Now I know God isn't done with me yet, and he has bigger plans for my future. Teen Challenge has literally saved my life. I owe my parents, Teen Challenge, and God everything. I couldn't have done it on my own. I've been sober for just over 7 months now, and I couldn't wait to show my nieces and nephews that the energetic, loving uncle they used to know is back. And I'm glad to say I got to do that in November, and we had a blast. And I'd just like to leave you guys with a Bible verse that I really like. It's Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might inherit the hope of eternal life. Thank you for taking the time to hear my story. Thank you for your prayer support and financial support, because without that, none of us would be having the help we need. Thank you.
Well, thank you, David. I have a sponsorship card for David as well. And so if you'd like to sponsor David, you could actually, in your church bulletin, there was a little handout there from us at Teen Challenge. It's a little threefold leaflet there. And if you fold out to the last page of that, you can sign up to become a sponsor. And you can actually enter credit card information, or we can do auto bank debiting. You can actually sponsor a student online as well if you don't want to, be in a lot of contact with us here today. And so, we challenge you and encourage you to come along with us. We're going to have Brandon share his story as well.
Hi, everyone. Well, it's nice to see everyone. You're not at home. It's nice to encouraging to see everyone. You know, we don't get out a lot, but it's always nice to see some friendly faces, and the energy in this building is just full of God, and praise him for that. So obviously my name's Brandon. I grew up in Stony Plain. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was always taught the Word of God. We always went to church. My family moved around a lot. When I was 6 years old, something tragic happened. My dad was babysitting me and my two older brothers. My dad went for a nap. I heard a thump on the wall, which usually meant that I was going to go jump on the bed and wrestle with my dad. But however, I was wrong. I came in the room, and I witnessed my dad overdosing on medication. My dad died that day, and I was not old enough to realize what had happened. My grandpa picked me and my brothers up, took us to our new home. In a few months, Grandpa bought me and my brothers a house, and which was really close to our school, our K-9 school. My family was there for me and my brothers, and always, and my uncles and my grandpa became my father figures, always being there for me through the thick and the thin. Life carried on and was pretty good. I attended our local youth group. Always went over to our local pastor's house playing board games or just watching movies. I went to a couple of Christian camps as a kid, Circle Square Ranch and Gull Lake Baptist Camp. I became, these were huge times of growth with my walk with God. I became an LIT, which stands for Leader in Training. these were extremely rewarding times, especially seeing the look on children's faces and the stories that they tell. You guys know that kids say the darndest things. Maybe we live by that. But you hear these kids' stories and what God does in their lives, or the stories that even I experience, it just changes their lives forever, and it's just such an inspiration. So when I was 17 years old, I thought about going into ministry. When grade 12 came, I began lying to myself, God, and my parents. I was going out to parties every other weekend and getting totally out of hand. What I didn't realize is at the time as my addictions were starting, going back thinking about my dad and how he struggled with addictions, I always got plenty of warnings from my family about what to do and what not to do, but I chose not to listen. After graduation, I attended welding school, achieved and received my journeyman ticket, but I developed some terrible habits along the way. I discovered my drug of choice, which was cocaine. This substance made a huge impact in my life. I started off as a small user, but it soon became a huge addiction. This put my family through the unspeakable. Along with this, I started gambling and drinking regularly. My three addictions fed off of each other. I continued lying to myself and my family. So one night at a party, I received a phone call that my friend had overdosed and died. The next morning, as I laid in bed, I was in deep thought that this is actually my turning point. I was using the same product that my friend was that overdosed on that night. And by God's grace, and I lived. God letting me live. So I knew something had to change, or it'd be my turn really soon. I called my uncle crying, saying that I have a problem and I need help. I told him that I've been battling these addictions for years now, and I don't know why I can't stop. My mother came, actually to Sylvan Lake here, a few days later, to come and talk to me. She knew of a place ever since she was my age, gave me hope, and this place is called Teen Challenge. I applied that night. It bothered me that it was a year long, and I didn't want to be away from my life for a year. But I did like the fact that it was Christian-based. I didn't know what to think, so I went to my mother's house. What it took for me to stop and came to the realization that I needed help was only the tough love a family could offer. So my stepdad became my parole officer. Just so everyone is clear, my stepdad was trained in the U.S. military. My family then took all my freedom away. I laid low there until my call came for Teen Challenge. God instantly started doing wonders in my life. Being back at home was a good reminder where I left off and when I was close to Jesus. I started working on the farm again. Hard and honest work always seemed to clear my mind. A few months went by. Sorry, I lost my spot here. A few months went by and my call came from Teen Challenge. I was nervous and didn't know what to think. Coming to Teen Challenge was a huge miracle for my life. God's love and graciousness is exactly what I needed to turn my life around. I met a new group of brothers for the first time in years. I have the privilege of knowing what it's like to have real friends again. All 12 of us here at Teen Challenge are all in this battle together, which is fighting Satan's off our backs for good, with God as our leader and witness. To this day, God continues doing wonders in my life. This is the first time in years I feel like walking on water. In the book of John, it talks about Jesus standing next to a well. And there's a whole bunch of wells within this town. And this lady's full of guilt and shame, but she goes to this well on the outskirts of the town. And Jesus approaches her. And she's just getting water because she's thirsty. And Jesus goes, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm just getting water because I'm thirsty." And Jesus goes, "You don't want that water. You want the water that I have to offer. If you accept the permanent water of Jesus with God by your side, you'll never be thirsty again. He'll always be there to protect and love you." So on that note, I'd love to leave you with a couple of scriptures that I found encouraging in my life and my growth and my walk with God. And the first one is Matthew 6:33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. And this one is my favorite. It's Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you'll keep yourself safe in God's love. So I'm halfway through my Teen Challenge program, and I got some insight on what I'd like to do on my next step. I plan on attending YWAM and a Phase 4 program. A Phase 4 program is an extension, a way to give back to Teen Challenge. It's becoming a staff member and becoming a CSW leader, an outreach leader. So sobriety is most important to me now. And I plan on either doing the YWAM or the Teen Challenge thing, both actually. Whatever happens or whatever comes first, I just not going back to work. I want to stay sober. But as it says, I'm leaving tomorrow and totally in God's hands. So without your guys' prayers and support, me and my brothers at Teen Challenge would not get the support and help that we need. So I thank you for your help. Thanks. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Brandon and David and Greg. Much appreciated. I was mentioning a little bit about our new building coming up, and I think we have a couple of slides here. Overall, what we decided need to happen at Teen Challenge was that we needed to take all of our old buildings down and build a new center. They just were sort of past that stage of being usable for the long term. And so we had a new building designed, and I had to swallow really hard when I heard that both complexes were going to cost us $5.5 million. And so I remember getting that news on a cold February morning, and hearing that in a really tough economy that we needed to raise this much money in order to get this project off the ground. And so we started making contacts and building relationships. And to date, folks, I can say that we have raised a little bit more than $4 million for the project. And so praise the Lord, absolutely. Our God is a God of infinite wisdom and supply, Jehovah Jireh, our supplier. Our provider. And so we celebrate that. At the same time, we also realize that we still need to raise an additional $1.5 million. And we have some irons in the fire, and we're working on that and so forth. And we believe that that God is going to supply that. We are under construction. We're at the stage where the roof is on, windows are in. Exterior doors are coming soon. The siding is arriving this week, so we have the permission, the funding to get to the lockup stage, and so we're so thrilled about that. And our prayer is that we don't have to stop construction when we're at the lockup stage. Our prayer is that the Lord will continue to provide in order for us to be able to just keep building. And if we could do that, that building would be open by the end of September. And we just ask you to stand with us in prayer for those final funds. If you or someone you know would be interested, we'd love to be pointed in their direction and have an introduction, that we can just get this thing figured out and get moved in there and start increasing our bed capacity. And so folks, once again, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. We hope and we pray all the time that the churches we visit would be encouraged, that they would know that the transformational power of Christ is still available to each one of us today. And keep on praying, and blessings to you as you continue to be salt and light in this community right here. May the Lord give you wisdom and the financial resources you need to be able to continue standing in the gap for Sylvan Lake. So blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Stand with me, church. Isn't this exciting? Let me try that one more time. Isn't this exciting? Wow. I love that. Full of energy, yes. The answer is yes. Full of energy, yes. God's energy, the answer is yes. Okay, you four, come on over here. And we want to just sort of stand. And anybody, again, caught, you know, wisdom. But... so good. God is so good. God is so good. We're going to have a second offering at the end. It's just because the plates are there, so they're already there. So if something has been said, Spirit of God has moved your heart, to help financially, maybe a sponsorship, whatever. We just want you to be obedient to Jesus. And airborne viruses, all that stuff, the stuff we're in right now, guess what? It's going to pass. All this stuff is going to pass. And hear me, there's going to be another one in another year. And there's going to be another one in another year. And media and all of that will swirl it up again. And bring all this swirl up again. But you know what? It'll pass. And the next one will pass. And the next one will pass. But you know what won't pass? Is the goodness of God and the healing power of Jesus changing lives. That's what won't change. That's what's eternal. That's what never ends, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And next year he's going to be good, and the year after he's going to be good, and the year after he's going to be good. How come you're not getting this preach on the preach? This is a good preach happening. Man, this is a good preach happening. Okay, put your hands out, and we're going to pray for these guys. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're, Lord. I never stop getting amazed by the power of Jesus transforming lives. Never. You still are changing lives. You're changing lives. Be glorified, Lord. Just be glorified. Lord, let everyone leave this place go, wow. Let everyone leave this place going, wow. Jesus is changing lives. Thank you for that, Lord. And if there's anything we're reminded of, drugs and booze and 1,000 other addictions, there's no remedy but Jesus. There's no remedy but Jesus. There's no remedy but Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, get over there and start loving on people and talk to people. And God bless you all. Have a fantastic day. And it's going to be +1 degrees tomorrow. Somebody say amen. It's going to be 1 degree tomorrow. That's very exciting. I'm not going to lie to you. That's good right there. +1 tomorrow.